Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a great show tonight. We have a show on the secrets of spirit communication. So have you ever wanted to contact grandma? Are you just interested in contacting, you know, those on the other side? This is the show for you, because all your questions about it is going to be answered. We're going to talk to you about how, when, where, how, all the 411, if you will, on spirit communication. We have with us Trish McGregor and Rob McGregor, who are the authors of Secrets of Spirit Communication, Techniques for Tuning In and Making Contact. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you guys know I always ask that question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Churches Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence, but they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist, so whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, from my website. And again, that's MoniqueChapman.com. Spirits communicate with us every day, especially the spirits of our loved ones. But are you tuning into them? Secrets of Spirit Communication is your guide for identifying and interpreting the signs, symbols, and synchronicities around you. Whether it's an object, sound, scent, dream, pattern, or number, this book will help you understand what it means and how you can respond. My guest today, Trish McGregor, is the author of 42 suspense novels and dozens of nonfiction books on synchronicity, spirit contact, dreams, the tarot, and astrology. In 2003, she won the coveted Edgar Allan Poe Award from the Mystery Writers of America for her novel, Out of Sight. Rob McGregor is best known for his 7 Indiana Jones novels for Lucasfilms. He is the author of 22 suspense novels and a number of nonfiction books on psychic power, meditation, and divination. For 10 years, he co-authored the Sidney Omar series of astrology books with his wife, Trish. Now, you can check them out at one of 2 websites, and that's Trish McGregor. No, that's wrong. That's TrishJMcGregor.com. That's TrishJMacGregor.com, or RobMcGregor.buzz. RobMacGregor.buzz. Welcome, guys.
Well, thank you for having us, Monique. That was a good intro.
Well, thank you. Hey, it's great to have you here. You know, everybody these days is truly into communication with the other side, and, you know, how can they contact? And some people like me are afraid of contact, even though I'm a psychic, but that's a whole other story. So with everything that you guys have done, how did you get into spirit communication?
Well, I think it grew out of our interest in synchronicity, because what we found was that synchronicity always or often seems to be a component in spirit communication.
Mm-hmm.
When Trish and I first met, we had an interest in the paranormal, metaphysics, and we had been living lives where we were surrounded by people who had no similar interests. So when we met, I was working as a newspaper reporter. Trish was teaching English as a second language to Cuban refugees, and I interviewed her and talking and found out that we had both read the Seth books as they came out through Jane Roberts, and we had no one to talk to about this information, and so we clicked right there, and of course Trish asked me, do you know what synchronicity is?
That was my test question.
Uh-huh. Well, he must have got it right, huh?
Yeah, he did. I said he's a keeper.
Okay. Well, you've written this beautiful book, Secrets of Spirit Communication, Techniques for Tuning In and Making Contact. Why now? Why is this so important that this information is out there now for the general public?
Well, so often people connect spirits or spirit contact with ghosts and hauntings and things that go bump in the night. Mm-hmm. And that really, with one exception, that hasn't been our experience. And most of the stories that we hear from other people are very positive. So we wanted to write something that showed that spirit contact is accessible to everyone.
And really, spirit contact basically, for most people, it's about making contact with a lost loved one from your life. It's not encountering a ghost in a haunted house. It's more personal than that. And it's there's so many different ways of making contact. I like to use my mother's example. Examples actually relate to contact with my father after he died. First one was symbolic. His nickname was Mac, and he was sitting in a chair where he would read in the den, and it was winter in Minnesota, and there was frost on the window, and she saw the initials M-A-C carved in the frost. And so that was a symbolic contact for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time, she was in the basement doing laundry, and she looked across the room, and there was this globe of light, a ball of light moving towards her, and she just knew that was him. So that was another means. And then she actually, the third one was, she actually saw him physically. She was sitting in his chair again. She looked up, and there he was standing in the doorway of the den. And she looked at him, and he was wearing this crazy orange patterned shirt. And she said, "Where did you get that shirt from?" He smiled and faded away.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that was scared of bejesus out of me. I'm not going to be completely honest about that. You know, seriously, and with the work I do, people say, you know, huh, that doesn't equate, but it truly, that the someone coming back after they've crossed over and showing themselves physically, that's like way too much for me. I can do the sounds and, you know, I can do different types of communication where I know it's the person, but
right.
If I saw them physically, it's like, no, that's a deal breaker. So I must have put out there somehow to not be able to see them because of everybody that's crossed over, like my mom, my dad, and whomever else. They haven't come back to show themselves to me, except for dreams. So let's talk about
right.
The most common ways to communicate with spirits.
Well, dreams seem to be the that's where most people, either where the spirit contact begins or where it happens most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And probably because we're in such a receptive state, you know, the left
mm-hmm.
brain goes to sleep.
Also, this contact can come through objects, like a clock stops at the time of death of a loved one. That's synchronicity, meaningful coincidence, and spirit contact. Or a broken radio begins to play as you talk about this deceased loved one who owned that radio, and suddenly
mm-hmm.
And maybe it hasn't played for a decade. And you open a book and find a photo of that lost loved one just as you're thinking about the person or talking about him or her. So examples of spirit contact and synchronicity through objects.
Okay, also, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we have a blogging friend in the UK who, in the course of 1 year, he lost a daughter and I think two friends. And after each loss, he found a white feather that he felt was them, the person trying to communicate, I'm here, here's this feather I want to lay at your feet. So that's when I first became aware of white feathers as an archetype of spirit contact. Not always, but in his case, each time he was thinking about these individuals before he found the feather. In fact, in one case, the white feather, I think, was on the headstone of his daughter's grave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Letting him know that she's okay?
Right.
And then there's contact through sound. We had an experience right in our house here where there was this explosion, like a transformer, electrical transformer blowing out, but like it was right next to us, like 10 feet away. And we jumped up, looked around, thinking that the television had blown up.
Even our dog jumped off the couch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Happened, but tell her, Trish, what you were doing at that moment.
Well, I had heard that Whitley Strieber's wife, Ann, had passed the day before, so I was writing Whitley an email, because we've been on his show a number of times, we know him, and just as I wrote the word, what I was trying to say was, let us know if we can do anything. Just as I wrote the word no, this explosion happened. So when I finished my email to Whitley saying, this weird thing just happened, Whitley. Any chance that this is Anne? And he said, yep, you better believe she's here. She's back. She's stirring up trouble. In fact, he wrote a book called The Afterlife Revolution that he co-authored with her in spirit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is really a fascinating book.
Okay, we'll have to check that out. I know there's a woman by the name of Annalise Scarron. She's written books from the other side that have been published. I think she wrote like 8 or 9 of them. They're quite fascinating.
Wow.
Quite fascinating. Annalise Scarron. I'm trying to scan my bookcase right now to see if I can see it and tell you what the names of the two that I have, but I'll tell you after the show. And I'll put it online for those of you who are listening. Now, it seems that electronics is a very... maybe easy way for spirit contact, because it seems to happen a lot. Why is that?
Well, this is something we ran across in our research for this book. It turns out that, you know, the technology is something apparently that's fairly easy for spirits to use. A friend of ours, Nancy, had lost her husband, Rich, to brain cancer. And a couple months after he passed, she was texting her daughters, asking them when they were going to come down to the house and, you know, help her go through his things and what they wanted to keep and that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, in the text message she was writing to her daughter, it said, he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't write it, and her daughter didn't write it. Nobody did. It just suddenly appeared. And that she took that as a message from him.
Okay. We have another story in our book about a woman named Kira whose young son had died. I think he was 18 or 19. Might have been a suicide. I can't remember right now. But his cell phone had been left behind, and for 2 years it stayed charged with his message still on there. And she would, every so often, she never charged it up. She would just turn it on to listen to his message, and it stayed there for 2 years until it finally died. I never heard of a phone.
Mine doesn't.
Mine doesn't either. Even the old first generation ones, I don't think would stay charged that long. So,
and so then a while later, she was writing on Facebook that her boy. She had three sons, and the two others were visiting, which was rare. They're adults, and she said, my boys are here. We're all here. And as she was typing that on Facebook, suddenly a word program popped up right on her screen, and it was a poem she had written to her dead son, a beautiful love poem to him. And there it was, and she knew that was contact with him. They were truly all there. in the family.
Yeah, well, it's amazing how they come through. Now, one of my kids worked part-time as a bartender in a bar, and everybody thought the bar was haunted. And one day he was there, he was working Sunday shift, day shift, so he was there basically by himself because it was empty, and he was, like, dusting the bottles and doing whatever, and he said he bent over to get something out of the fridge to put it up on the counter, and there's mirrors, you know, behind him. So he looked up, and when he looked in the mirror, he saw this man. He said, man was 6'2". He had long hair. He had a handle mustache.
Wow.
Like a biker dude or whatever. And then he turned around and there was nothing there. So he definitely, and he inquired later about, you know, seeing this person. And it came out that this person actually died in that bar 20 years prior.
Wow.
So he was convinced, and he shortly thereafter left that job.
I can't blame him.
But he was definitely convinced. And I remember once on my father-in-law, he had passed away, and he smoked cigars. And, you know, they always have a distinctive smell. And he wasn't around when my husband and I got married, physically anyway. And, you know, after the marriage ceremony, actually the next day, we went by his mother's house to say goodbye before we got on the airplane to go west. And a very strong odor of cigar smoke was in the house. And I knew then and there that, you know, his dad was there, but I didn't say anything because they all thought I was crazy to start with. So I didn't want to, you know, say anything. And then I've noticed that several times I can be here in California. My deceased father-in-law has never been to California. And I'm in the car driving around, and that same cigar smell comes. But every time it comes now, somebody passes away. So he's like giving me a warning, but I just don't pick up on it. Because every time I smell that smell, somebody within the next week in his family passes away.
Oh, in his family. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Smell is another way of making contact. Perfume sometimes that was worn by a person who had passed on. We were once visiting an old mansion in Asheville, North Carolina.
The Biltmore.
And we walked into this, the library part of it. It's a huge place. And we smelled cigar smoke. And you can't smoke in there. And so we asked a guard about it. He said, that's, that's one of the ghosts. Because we've smelled that as well here from time to time.
And yet officially, the Biltmore says it's not haunted.
Yeah, they like to say that for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah. But people, otherwise.
yeah, and so Spirit has come through and said, okay.
Yeah.
Now, you guys have written this beautiful book, and it has a lot of tips and techniques, folks, on how to connect with spirits. So why don't you guys give us the basics of spirit contact. What's the basics?
Okay, the first step is recognition. You have to recognize that contact is possible. If you're doubtful, so doubtful, and in such a state of disbelief, that's it. You know,
nothing will happen.
You're not going to make contact. The second step is awareness, where you increase your awareness. Once you recognize, make this recognition that yes, it's possible. What do I do? It's awareness. You increase your awareness to the many ways that spirit makes contact, not just seeing the person as if they were still alive by any means. And the next step is intention. You try to initiate the contact, and actually you think you're initiating it. You make a request and repeat it aloud, but actually that you might have been nudged from the other side first, and then you initiate it. You may not be the one initiating it. You make your request and repeat it aloud, but that helps make this contact. Then you give it attention. You add desire, and maybe you visualize the one you want to see. You remember how they looked, this person looked, and then you add a fond memory of being with that person. And then after that, you've done everything you need to do. You just got to let it go. And
wait and see what happens.
See what happens.
Okay, so say, you know, for whatever reason, you want Grandma to come back and be around you and give you some information. Just because Grandma has crossed over, does that mean that she's any more enlightened than she was when she was in physical body?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the person who passed.
Uh-huh.
The question is always, why do they come? It's mostly that they want to communicate that they're okay. They want to feel sorrow and crying and that it's terrible that the person has died. They say they're okay. That's the number one. And also a little on a broader sense, just the awareness that the spirit world exists. And then also sometimes they have a task that they've left unfinished, and they want to communicate something. Like in that movie Ghost, the spirit came back to try to warn
his wife.
Yeah.
That his partner was the murderer.
Yeah, and he was trying to be with her and all that. And folks, if you haven't seen Ghost in a while or you didn't watch it when it came out eons ago, watch it because it gives a pretty accurate depiction of what can go in, what's going on. So it's not, so far-fetched, if you will. Hollywood did a great job on that one. Now, in your book, you talk about two cities, and one is Casadega, Florida, where it's basically a town of mediums. It's right north of Disney. So, folks, if you're going down to Disney, you can check this out. And then also Lilydale in Casadega, New York. So they're like sister cities. But what I found as I was writing this down, taking notes as I was reading your book, instead of writing Lily, L-I-L-Y, I wrote it down as L-I-L-L-I-E. My mother's name, Lily, and she spelled her name L-I-L-L-I-E. I've never had any problems any other time writing Lily as it should be presented. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, she's communicating.
Exactly.
That was interesting. It kind of blew me away because I'm just working, doing my stuff, and she's like, here, pay attention to me. Pay attention to me now. So talk to us about Casadega, Florida, and Casadega, New York, and why they may be places of interest for people to go visit.
Well, Casadega, Florida is fascinating. We've never been to Lilydale, but part of the reason is because Lilydale is not accessible to us, whereas Casadega is, our daughter lives in Orlando, so when we visit her, we sometimes go to Casadega for readings.
They're spiritualists. Uh-huh. And the original one was in Casadega, New York, and this was like the one in Florida was like the winter
home,
the winter home, and that developed into a spiritualist community that still exists today. There's an old hotel, a Mediterranean hotel from the 1920s there that we've stayed in numerous times, and we've had
and it's haunted.
It's haunted.
Uh-huh.
We had a scary experience there. It's probably our one truly scary
spirit contact.
We were the only ones in the hotel. It was first week of March, and that's when they have Biker Week in Daytona Beach, and apparently everybody was out to the coast to Daytona that weekend, so the hotel was empty. It's just the guy working behind the desk, and we got a room on the second floor, a suite actually, and we had our daughter with us who was about a year old, and she was sleeping, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. We were both reading books when we heard this thunderous steps moving down the hallway.
Sounded like somebody in big boots.
Heavy, heavy boots coming our way. And just coming closer and closer, and we both felt this dreadful sense coming from whatever this was. And we were there, for spirit contact, and so it was just the opposite. It was just very negative, and it came right to our door, stopped in front of our door, and it freaked us out so much that we pushed it in front of the door.
It was an old wooden dresser, like, that's going to keep anything out, right?
It rattled, too. That was scary. And I don't know if that what the dresser was maybe symbolic that we don't want you in here. The last thing I was going to do was open that door to see what was out there. I mean, it was just...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was so scary. I was looking around for a window and a fire escape to grab Megan and leave.
Mm-hmm.
It was frightening. And then, the door handle rattled, and that was it.
Yeah.
The boots faded on down the hall. But the next morning, I asked the clerk at the desk, I told him about the experience. He goes, oh, yeah. He says, we've got a couple of ghosts, but he says, usually they don't do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, they wanted to give you the royal treatment because you were the only guest there.
Maybe so.
Either that or you're the only people there, and they're like, well, get out because we want the space to ourselves.
Yeah,
one of the other. It's really interesting. Well, we're speaking with Trish McGregor and Rob McGregor. They're the author of Secrets of Spirit Communication, Techniques for Tuning In and Making Contact. It's available everywhere. You can check them out at their website, and that is trishjmcgregor.com or robmcgregor.buzz.
Also, I wanted to mention the place mm-hmm. where we post, where we do most of our posting, is at blog.synchrosecrets.com.
Okay.
That's where we have a lot of stories about. Sorry, blog.synchro, S-Y-N-C-H-R-O, secrets.com.
Okay, well, since you brought up synchro, let's talk about synchronicity and how that plays in spirit communication, since you're both experts.
Well, I think synchronicity really is the language of spirit communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, spirit contact as synchronicity, I think it reveals the reality of this greater consciousness in which everyone and everything alive and in spirit are all interconnected. And the synchronicity is at the borderline between this inner world and the everyday world. And that's it. Because these things happen that involve cause and effect, and their inner experience, it's usually two similar events that come together outside of cause and effect. For example, a thought and a similar event, and the resulting coincidence is meaningful to the observer. For instance, with thinking of somebody who had, you had an
that you haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, like a couple of calls. And suddenly you get a Facebook request from that person, maybe within an hour or two. So that's a meaningful coincidence. Or I had a dream where a friend of mine I hadn't seen for years, he had a very dry sense of humor, remember? And he just appeared very vividly to me, and he said, I'm dead now, and just a normal drab voice, and I found out a short time later that he had died in a car accident.
Oh, wow. So they just come through and talk to you. I've had something similar to that where I'll think of someone that I haven't thought of in eons, and then if I go searching on the internet, you know, I look them up and I find out that they've crossed over, and it's like, oh, okay, they were coming to let me know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, one place I've been, I live in an area where we have Antique Row, if you will, within the city. It's an area of the town where Charlie Chaplin lived and made his movie.
Oh, wow.
And they've kept it in that era, at least the look. So it's replete of antique stores, okay?
Hmm.
And quite haunted. Why is it that spirits love to be with antiques? I think they go back and be with their stuff or something, because every time I've gone there and I've come home, the last time I went with my sister, we came back to my house and we were sitting in the dining room, we were just talking, and we heard this voice coming out of one of the bedrooms. I'm like, Julius, are you home? Because I didn't see his car outside. And he didn't answer, but the conversation kept going. And so we were, you know, again, just sitting there talking, and then the conversation got louder. From, you know, the bedroom got louder and louder, and I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go, and I'm leaving my own house because we had picked up the spirit. Now, I know how to make them go away, so I did it, and it went away, but why is it that they tend to go to antique stores and then want to follow you home?
That's interesting. Maybe it's not just antique stores. It might just be objects.
Something from,
you know,
memory, a link to the past,
uh-huh.
There that they... are somehow attached to. And yeah, I think that, you know, just like why would they be in graveyards, you know, where they're
right.
Cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good question, but I think you got to realize we have to look at the spirit world as not being like the ordinary world. They can be in two or more places at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
They're doing other things. You can have if you were married two or three times, you could be with all three of your spouses at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that would be quite interesting. I do know that when my mom passed away, she was in a nursing home, and I was not there at her passing, and I got the call that she'd passed away. So I asked my older son just to come out and sit with me because I was sitting on the couch, and he did. And within 2 minutes of him coming to sit with me, he starts slapping at his ear like, "What's this? What's this? What's this?" And I said, "What's wrong?" Because he's kind of panicked. And he goes, "This spider web is just all over my ear. I don't understand what's wrong."
Oh, my God.
And it was Grandma talking to him. Now, I have no idea what she said, okay? But Grandma came through, and she was talking to him because she knew better than to talk to me. So I think she wanted to let, you know, us know that she had crossed over, but, you know, who knows? So there's so many different ways that the spirits will converse with us. Now, in your book, you share many, many stories about animal communication. Why do they come through us?
Well, let me tell you something that just happened to our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She had the sweetest cat named Piper. Had her for 2 years. Came home from a movie a couple of weeks ago and found Piper dead on the living room floor. Of course, she freaked out, became hysterical, and, you know, called us. And because whenever you lose a pet, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like losing a member of your family. So a couple days passed, and Megan called again. She goes, "I just want to know that death isn't the end." And I said, "Well, let Piper know that." And so maybe another couple days passed, and she called again. She goes, "Mom, I just saw Piper. She was in my room." I said, "Well, how did you see her?" She goes, "Right out of the corner of my eye. It was definitely her. She was sitting where she always sat, by the window." I said, "See?" And it's happened a couple times now. So, I mean, even animals come back to let us know. They contact us to let us know they're okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing. Well, years ago, before we bought a house, we rented a home, beautiful home, and there was this cat that kept coming by. It was an orange tabby, and I told the landlord at that time, I said, "Whoever lived here before," because he said no pets, but I said, "Whoever lived here before owned this cat, because the cat is too comfortable here." So I looked at the cat, and when I looked at the cat, I saw that it would be hit by a car right across the middle section, but I kind of just pushed that, you know, out of my mind. So the cat was around for maybe about 2 weeks, and all of a sudden the cat wasn't around anymore. And then my mom came over, you know, maybe about 3-4 weeks later, and she goes, "Where's the cat?" And I said, "You know, I think maybe it's crossed over because I haven't seen it in a while." And at that moment, we heard, meow.
Oh, my God.
You know, so the cat was validating, in my mind at least, was validating, you know, that something had happened to it that was no longer in the physical. But it definitely let us know. The feeling was that it was okay, you know, that it was in a good space, if you will. Now, in your book, go ahead.
I was just going to tell you, there's one story that was given to us by a guy who blogs about synchronicity in Australia. And in 2010, he owned a cat, a black and white cat named Sylvester. And he'd gone out grocery shopping or something, came home and found Sylvester had been hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever had done it had put the cat on his front lawn and said, "I'm really sorry." And it was too dark to bury him, so the next day, Darren took the body, went out into the woods, and he had the radio on while he was digging the cat's grave. And what should come on but, oh gosh, who's the guy's name? Who wrote Digging in the Dirt?
Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel's song,
mm-hmm.
Digging in the Dirt. And he just like, oh my God, he just stood there. You know, what are the odds that that particular song would come on while he was digging a grave for his cat?
Wow.
That's a a powerful synchronicity. And to him, it meant that his cat was okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing how the communication just happens. Now, in the book, you talk about spirit psychokinesis. What is that, and how does it happen?
Well, it's like telekinesis, but there's, you know, nothing around to make it happen. It's not like, you know, Jung and Freud sitting in Freud's living room talking about something, and this bookcase or whatever it was blew up. It's like, let's say you walk into a room, and suddenly a photograph of your father falls off the wall.
Uh-huh. A book falls out of a bookshelf that was significant to the person who had passed and that you may have been just talking about. And that explosion that we mentioned that earlier story with Anne Streber, another example of a psychokinetic event related to spirit contact.
Hmm. Okay.
It's like that scene in Ghost. Remember the guy on the subway who was trying to teach him how to affect physical matter?
Right.
Yeah, it's like that. You know,
okay.
I don't think it's real easy for a spirit to do that, but when they do it, it's startling to the living.
Yeah. I would definitely think so. Now, in your book, you also talk about cluster communications. What is that?
It's when a communication with a particular spirit happens several times, like three or four times in a period of, say, you know, a few hours.
Uh-huh.
It's like cluster synchronicities. In Memories, Dreams, and Reflections, Jung talks about how while he was working on an alchemical text, the word fish or the concept of fish showed up six times in a period of a few hours. And he felt it was a cluster I don't think he used the word cluster. That was our term. But
uh-huh.
That's what it was, where you have a bunch of the same synchronicity happen.
We had one story on our blog recently. It was a visual story of cluster synchronicity. This person contacted us, had taken the picture. It was at a bus stop, and there were like five or six people there, not related, and they were all wearing white and black.
It was very strange.
And I looked very close at it, and they were not the same T-shirt. They were different models. Some had wider stripes than the others, but they were all, you know, with the horizontal stripes around it. Yeah, I don't see many wearing those kind of.
Yeah, you don't see too many visual synchros like that.
And that particular one was odd. And then he sent another picture. I don't know where it came from. Is it a little girl riding by on a bicycle wearing the same T-shirt?
Yeah, right.
Interesting.
These people in this group.
So it makes you wonder what were they trying to communicate at that, you know, juncture. Everybody wearing the same, showing up and wearing the same colors. Some deeper underlying meaning, but I guess
who knows?
You know. You have the untrained person, which is like, oh, everybody's got them black and white. How interesting,
right.
and let it go. Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Have trickster synchronicity, you know, because it's a head-scratcher. You just wonder what it means, and that's the point, I guess. Try to figure it out.
Yeah, make you think and let you know that they're still around. Now, you know, here in California, marijuana is legalized, and it's happening in other states. I don't know how it is in Florida.
It's legal in Florida, but we haven't seen evidence of it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so a lot of people are utilizing that. I get a lot of calls. You know, people, they utilize the substance, they call me, and all of a sudden they've seen people, you know, that have been long since dead. Even one lady called and she said that she had contacted an ancestor that she really didn't know, but the ancestor provided verification that she was who she was. So what is it about altered states of consciousness in spirit contact?
Well, I think with something like pot, it's with marijuana. I mean, it's fairly benign, you know, but it does open you up to seeing things that you wouldn't see ordinarily.
It just takes you off your normal consciousness, your normal awareness, just like I mentioned earlier, travel into a different place. Maybe that was another interview where he mentioned.
Yeah, I think it was another one.
We've done a number of these. You're in a different town, a different place, and you're out of the normal, your regular life, and that puts you in a different state of mind, just as smoking weed does.
You know, this is another weirdo story. One year, I bought Rob a Tibetan singing bowl from a woman who travels to Thailand and brings these things back. And he started using it in his yoga and meditation classes. And then one day we got home from the gym, and I found the French doors that opened to the porch wide open. And yet I knew I had shut and locked the doors before we left. And it went on like this for a couple of days. Doors locked, things missing, you know, kind of like the trickster. And the key that had been in the lock on the inside door of our cabana bathroom was missing. So, and then there was a missing $100 bill. So I began to think that the spirit of the monk who had owned this bowl was behind this. I mean, it wasn't nasty or anything, you know. It was a trickster thing. It's like saying, hey, I'm here, pay attention, you know. And then two of the, at the time we had three cats, and two of the three cats were female, and they really didn't like each other. But they stopped squabbling. And I thought, okay, there's this monk is here. And eventually, all the weirdness stopped. But the woman who sold this bowl to me, I had told her about it, and she says sometimes, she said she had one woman who had bought a singing bowl from her and returned it because it was inhabited by three spectral monks.
I teach yoga and meditation, and at the end of my yoga classes, I always play the bowl. But sometimes the energy in the class is a little weird, and I've had situations where I can't get any sound out of it. I do the exact same thing has this great vibrating sound, fills the room, and sometimes I can't get anything out of it. I don't understand it.
And I think it's that monk, you know. He's just making his presence known.
Interesting. I have the complete opposite reaction to those singing bowls. I can't stand it. It irritates me to my core. I don't know why, but just irritates me to my core. So it's like
maybe from a life in bed or something.
Yeah, or you know, something really interesting happened there, and you know, it's time to move on from that. Mm-hmm. Now, in the book, you also talk about spirit contact and numbers and how they often indicate spirit. Like, you know, people know about time prompts and like 11:11 or, you know, 5:12 or whatever. So talk to us about how they come through us through numerology, basically.
Well, let me give you an example. Right after we started, I'm talking about humanity at large, started becoming more aware of this 11 and 111 and 1011. Yeah, 11:11. Anyway, we had taken a trip to Costa Rica, and it was a country that my parents, when they visited, just loved it. And I was thinking about them. We walked into the store one day, and I thought, oh, my mother would really like this place. There were so many different types of art and that kind of thing. So Megan and I walked around and bought some stuff. And so I went up to the counter, and the woman said, oh, your bill is $111.11. I thought, okay, my mother's here. I know it. Mm-hmm. And that was my sign. So ever since then, I've kind of associated those numbers with my parents. Spirit contact. But, you know, for other people, it can be other things. It can be a cluster of sevens. It could be fours. It could be a birth date.
So they can just come through and whatever they feel would make sense to you.
Right.
Should you decide to want to make that contact.
I think so. And numbers, you know, I mean, it could be like a time on a microwave. It could be the time on your computer. It can be all kinds of different objects where it appears. Your car, the odometer.
Okay. So we're almost at the end of our time. I want to hear separately from each of you. What pearl of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today regarding spirit communication?
It's possible.
Okay.
And it's easy. You know, once you set your attention and your awareness, get ready.
And what I would like to say is that so much in entertainment about spirit contact is negative. I mean, it's exciting and thrilling and scary. It's about, but the idea that we are given over and over again is that the dead people are just like zombies, and they're falling, and there's no light there, and it's just wrong. You know, it's just wrong. And thankfully, there's movies like like Ghost, not many of them, but that show a more true.
Or like The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Yeah, with Bruce Willis. Yeah.
Most directors, writers take the, in Hollywood take the easy way out with the scares, you know. So it's just we have that awareness that it's there's light there on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, folks, we've been speaking with Trish and Rob McGregor. They're the co-authors of Secrets of Spirit Communication Techniques for Tuning In and Making Contact. It's available everywhere. If you're truly interested in this phenomenon, go get the book. It's a quite easy read, and it covers all many different ways that you can connect, and it will open your mind, if you will, so that you will recognize spirit communication when it happens to you, because guess what? It happens to everybody. Okay. So Trish and Rob, thanks so much for being with me. I greatly appreciate
it. It was fun. You're a terrific hostess.
Well, thank you. And thank you to the audience for being with me today as we get over it and open up to spirit communication. The divine in me honors the divine in you. And folks, if you're looking to live a little bit better life than what you're living now, give me a call for a consultation. Consultations 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of spirit communication. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.